News of the Times, Frightful Fridays, Murder and Scandal in Wales. Welcome to News of the Times. In today's episode, we look at two cases exploring the dark side of beautiful Wales. Our first case from 1892 looks at the horrific murder of Mary Connolly, a member of the unfortunate class, who is found lying in the street with her throat cut so deeply it is slashed to the spine. Our second case from 1875 recounts the infamous in its day Anglesey clerical scandal, which gripped the papers. A questionable burial of a two-month-old baby unravels the world of Reverend Thomas Hughes as he is caught having impregnated his young stepdaughter. The baby, on which he feloniously recorded falsely, is his own. Stories of Murder and Scandal in Wales is today's episode of Frightful Fridays. We hope you enjoy the show. September 1892, Wales. The whole of the UK is still reeling from the horrific crimes of Jack the Ripper and the rash of follow-up copycat killings. Abergavenny, some 6 miles from the English border, has been a market town since Roman times, festooned with beautiful building. In the quiet of a Friday evening, a railwayman, returning home after work, discovers a body lying in a pool of blood on the roadway, and police are called in. From the Evening Express, terrible tragedy at Abergavenny. Supposed murder of a woman, the head nearly severed from the body. It is stated that a terrible murder was committed at Abergavenny on Friday evening. Late at night, the body of a woman named Mary Connolly was found in a secluded spot near the London and North Western Railway Station, with her head nearly severed from her body. Great excitement was created by the sad discovery, and from what can be gathered, it appears that the woman was enticed to the spot between 8 and 9 o'clock, and the deed was committed about that time. Police, who were quickly on the spot, have no clue as to who committed the deed or whether there was any motive for the crime. At the scene, the victim is immediately recognised as Mary Connolly, a figure well known to the local police. Mary, described as one of the unfortunate class, was a woman addicted to drink. Indeed, she had only just been released from Irk jail after 28 days there for drunk and disorderly behaviour. Mary was harmless, and police had no idea who would have slashed her with such force and hatred. Investigations are begun and her steps retraced. It was known that she had been seen with an unknown man in the local pub, where she had ordered a whiskey for herself and a beer for the stranger. Within 2 hours, she is found by a local railwayman on his way home. From the scene of the crime, it could be seen that she had been murdered not far from where she was found. From the Western Mail, the 23rd of December, 1892. Murder in Abergavenny. At the junction of Hatherley Road and Brecon Road, later on in the evening, Edward Wilkins, a guard on the London and North Western Railway, whilst walking home, discovered the body of the poor woman, Connolly, lying on the roadway. Her throat was cut almost from ear to ear. In fact, the evidence of Dr. Steele showed that the wound extended through all the tissues, windpipe, gullet, and blood vessels, almost to the spine. Wilkins, the guard, says he thought he saw the deceased's head move once after he came up to the body. There is some evidence to show that the attack took place in a small shed at the end of a garden, close to Hatherley Road. and the fact that a number of plants in the garden were splattered with blood tends to show that. After her throat had been hacked in such a terrible manner, she crawled away to the high road and there breathed her last. The police were communicated with and the body was removed for medical examination by Dr. Steele. Great excitement was naturally aroused, and a hue and a cry was raised to trace the murderer. Other than the stranger seen within the pub, the police have few leads, and it is possible that the case would have gone cold, except that less than 2 days later, a man walks into the police station and confesses to the murder. Thomas Edwards, a former soldier who had been discharged due to enteric fever, turns himself in and gives a chilling account of the murder of Mary Connolly, his reasons and the plans he had of roaming from city to do the same to other women of the unfortunate class. From the Evening Express on the 1st of December 1892, the Abergavenny murder. Thomas Edwards, aged 30, described in the calendar as a labourer of imperfect education, was brought up to plead on an indictment charging him that on the 16th of September last, at the parish of Abergavenny, he did feloniously, wilfully, and of his malice aforethought, kill and murder Mary Connolly. The court was crowded. The prisoner. The prisoner, on taking his place in the dock, had a composed and neat appearance. His hair was parted in the middle and was gratefully brushed to either side, and his moustaches were artistically curled at the ends. In answer to the charge, he said in a subdued voice, "Not guilty." Opening statement. Mr. Raine, in opening the case, detailed some of the circumstances of the case. He was sure that no words of his were necessary to ask the jury to give the utmost and the closest attention to the case. Having referred to the persons who had seen the prisoner and the woman together on the evening in question, the learned counsel related the circumstances of finding of her body near the junction of Hatherley Road and the Brecon Road. She was lying on her back with her throat cut and her body covered with blood. Her petticoats were up and her stockings drawn down. On the Sunday morning, 2 days after the murder, the prisoner went to the police station at Abergavenny and gave himself into custody, stating that he had committed the murder and wished to make a clean breast of it. He was warned and then made a statement in the presence of a superior police officer. He was then locked up, but a few hours afterwards he said he wished to make a statement to be taken down in writing. He then made a statement, which was taken down and signed by the prisoner. The statement was as follows, the prisoner's confession. "I met with a girl on Friday night in Tudor Street at about 7 p.m. She asked me to go with her. We called in a public house on the bank in another street. I had a glass of beer there, she had some liquor, and I gave her a shilling there and she paid for the drink. We were in the bar with a small window and I gave her other money beside the shilling. She then asked me to go along with her and she took me into some garden or field. There were fences there. She laid down and I cut her throat there. I had no immoral intercourse with her. I knew her before 2 months ago and then she took more than £2 from me. I left her on the ground. I came back to the same public bar and had a glass of beer. I washed my hands in some water in a field. I kept the razor until yesterday when I put it away, and I am willing to show you the place. I remained in the inn until after 11 o'clock on Friday night. I slept in some building on the road to the asylum. I threw the collar away down by the river, and took it away yesterday, and could find it again. I had a paper parcel at the same public house I called at with the girl, and fetched it the same night when I had a glass of beer. I left at about 5 o'clock. I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago since Colonel Findall, commanded the Shropshire Regiment, was murdered in Birmingham by one of these loose girls. Since then, my mind has always been against these girls. I was formerly in the Shropshire Regiment. If I had a good chance, I could have killed one before I intended going to Newport and killing one or two there. I should have gone, only I had no money. I served in the Egyptian campaign and got invalided from there and suffered from pains in my head before I committed the deed. I have a mother, Elizabeth Edwards, in the Abergavenny Asylum since I was a child. She has been in twice. She came from Knighton the first time and the second time from Witham. Signed, Thomas Edwards. Edwards takes the police to the locations where he dropped his razor, collar and tie. Checks are made into his antecedents and everything confirms Edwards' statement. The question then is not of his guilt, but whether he was insane during the act. From the Western Mail, the 23rd of December, 1892, the Abergavenny murder, the execution of the prisoner, seen on the scaffold, the inquest, story of the crime. Edwards was initially not traced and would in all probability have been enabled to elude the police altogether had it not been for what happened on the following Sunday morning, some 34 hours after the commission of the offence. Edwards then went to the police station at Abergavenny and surrendered himself into the custody of Superintendent Freeman and Police Sergeant Capper, saying he wanted to make a clean breast of the matter. He was locked up, and a few hours afterwards he said he wanted to make a statement. He was warned that if he did so, it might be used in evidence against him, but he persisted in making a confession. With the prisoner's admissions and the corroborative evidence obtained from witnesses who had seen him in company with Connolly, the case against Edwards was complete. He was committed for trial by the coroner and by the magistrate for willful murder and was arraigned on an indictment for that offence at the Monmouthshire Assizes before Mr. Justice Day on Thursday, December the 1st. To the indictment he pleaded not guilty and preserved a calm and composed demeanour throughout the trial, which lasted about 5 hours. The facts of the case were practically admitted, and the only issue that the jury had to try was whether or not the prisoner at the time of the commission of the crimes was insane. That is to say, whether from mental aberration arising from a diseased brain, he was unable to judge the nature and quality of the things he was doing, and to that issue the judge, jury and counsel devoted a searching attention. It was admitted that Edwards' mother had been in Abergavenny Asylum for more than 20 years, and that his grandfather, his mother's father, was a silly old man, that one of his mother's brothers had died an idiot, and that there had been some trouble with a sister. Also, that Edwards himself had been invalided home from the Egyptian campaign out of the Shropshire Regiment with enteric fever, and that he was usually a man of very reserved, silent and almost sullen demeanour. But the judge pointed out during the trial that what the jury had to try was not what his family had suffered, but whether Edwards himself was insane when he committed the tragedy. Dr. Glenn Denning, medical superintendent of Abergavenny Asylum, visited the man in jail on three occasions and had long conversations with him. His evidence was that the man was of sound mind. Dr. Bolton, the medical officer of the prison, agreed with Dr. Glenn Denning, but thought if he took a drink, such a condition of mind might have been produced in the man as that he could not distinguish the nature and quality of his acts. Lieutenant Colonel and Surgeon Nelson Edwards, who had charge of the medical arrangement at Shrewsbury, the depot of the Shropshire Regiment, produced the prisoner's medical sheet showing that he had been invalided home with enteric fever, but there was no mention of mental disease. A few witnesses were called for the defence to show the taint of insanity in the family. Prisoner's father, Richard Edwards, a labourer of Whittam, was amongst the witnesses for the defence, but he burst into tears when he entered the witness box. The evidence having been concluded, Mr. Raw made a short reply on behalf of the Crown. He was unable to find evidence that the prisoner himself was insane, and there was the fact that he was sharp enough after the murder to change his collar and tie. The judge, in summing up, also put it strongly to the jury that there was no evidence of the prisoner's insanity. It was not enough to say that if he took drink, certain conditions would arise, but it was clearly established that drink was no excuse for crime. Why, he asked the jury, did the man take the razor out with him for when he had left his bundle of clothes at the public house? And what, also, did he go with the girl for? Not for the gratification of lust, because he said nothing had taken place, and the medical examination of the girl corroborated the prisoner's statement. The jury, after deliberating for 5 minutes, found Edwards guilty and pronounced that he was not insane. The judge agreed with the verdict, remarking that the evidence of insanity was wholly insufficient to sustain the plea, and passed sentence of death in the usual form. An appeal was lodged for commutation, which was rejected. Thomas Edwards was executed at Usk Prison on the 27th of December, 1892, by the executioner Billington. Our second case from Wales in 1875 was infamous in its day, the Anglesey clerical scandal. The case begins with questions surrounding the interment of a baby some 2 months old that looks to have been done surreptitiously by the good reverend. With authorities questioning the burial, an exhumation takes place. No poison of any kind is found, and the baby died of malnutrition through want of food that it could process. However, the event brings about a far more lurid tale of activity. The Reverend Thomas Morris Hughes. The Reverend Hughes is the curate in charge of Clan Philfab and Clan Edwin in Anglesey. He is also the private chaplain to Lord Boston. The Reverend Hughes is married with several children. Within his household, he is also stepfather to two children, Miss Mildred and the youngest child, Miss Emma Hammer. What unfolds is a long-term relationship with the young Emma Hammer that includes stays in inns where they shared a bed. We have found no confirmed reports of her actual age, but from research of a girl of the same name marrying in 1887, if it is indeed the same person, she would have been about 13 years of age at the time of the relations. Emma becomes pregnant and has the child, a healthy baby boy, in a different location from the parish in which he is reverend. From the Cambrian News on the 21st of May, 1875, the Anglesey clerical scandal. The adjourned inquest on the body of Ernest Hammer Hughes, an infant 2 months old, was held at Conway on Thursday, May the 13th, before the county coroner, Mr. Roberts. The deceased was the illegitimate child of Miss Emma Hammer, stepdaughter of the Reverend Thomas Morris Hughes, curate in sole charge of Clan Dilfab and Clan Edwin in Anglesey, in whose case certain charges of immorality are to be investigated by the Bishop of Bangor. The witnesses examined were Miss Mildred and her sister, Miss Emma Hammer, who admitted she was the mother of the deceased, and they are the stepdaughters of the Reverend gentleman, Sir Charlotte Hughes, his wife, Mr. Hughes himself, Mary Davis, who acted as midwife at the child's birth on the 27th of February last, and Mrs. Hughes, a lodging housekeeper at the village of Abercare in Carnarvonshire, where the birth took place. It is in Mrs. Hughes's house of Abercare where Miss Hammer and Mr. Hughes, passing under the name of Mr. and Mrs. Hughes, lodged from the 6th of February to the 7th of April. Medical evidence went to show that there were no external marks or traces of poison, but that death resulted from starvation, owing to the food given to the child not being digestible or suitable. The child had been fed upon condensed milk and corn flour. It gradually wasted away, and after 2 days' illness died without medical aid being called in. The report of Dr. Campbell Brown of Liverpool, who had analysed the stomach, was read. He stated he had proved an entire absence of mineral poison and failed to find any traces of organic poison. There was no reason to suspect the administration of any poison. The stomach was almost empty, but what it contained was indigestible or starchy food, which was unsuitable for a young infant and not assimilated by them. He was led to conclude that the child received food, but of such a kind as to be useless, or at least insufficient, and he should infer that death was the result of a not uncommon state of starvation. The Reverend Mr. Hughes was also examined and said he was at Abercare with his stepdaughter at the period of the birth of the child. He was also present at the child's death, which took place on the 26th of April at Clandinial Parsonage. A nurse named Mary Davis, who had attended Miss Hammer during her confinement and nursed the child for 6 weeks, stated that it was healthy during that time and had no appearance of wasting. The jury found a verdict that the child died from having food that it could not digest, but that the persons giving it food had no intention to destroy life. They were further of the opinion that those concerned ought to have called in a doctor, for he might have been able to save the child's life. The scandal takes many forms. The initial scandal of whether a baby has been murdered is put to rest with the legal verdict of accidental death. However, to cover up his involvement with the baby, the Reverend Hughes has falsely entered the particulars of the child's birth and death. Recently recreated laws made this a felony. From the Cambrian News on the 21st of May, 1875, the Anglesey clerical scandal. This extraordinary scandal entered upon a new and unsuspected phase on Saturday, May 15th. Later on Friday night, the Reverend Thomas Morris Hughes, curate in charge of Clan Danlifib and Clan Edwen in Anglesey, was apprehended by Inspector Parry of the County Police at Clan Dalifab Parsonage under a warrant on a charge of felony. On Saturday, he was brought before the magistrates at Beaumaris and charged that he, on the 5th of May last, at the parish of Clangoyd in Anglesey, feloniously and fraudulently caused a false insertion in a register of deaths relating to the death of Ernest Hammer Hughes, an infant whose demise was the subject of a coroner's inquest last week. The Chief Constable of Anglesey, Captain White Griffiths, preferred the charge and stated that he found discrepancies between the certificates of birth and death, the one describing the child as Ernest Hammer, simply, and the father as Thomas Hughes, clerk in Holy Orders of Halston in Staffordshire, and the other as Ernest Hammer Hughes. The signature to the certificate of death was Thomas Morris Hughes, uncle of the child, and he would prove that Thomas Hughes of Halston and Thomas Morris Hughes are identical. He had received a telegram from Halston stating that the Reverend Thomas Hughes did not reside there and had no cousin in Anglesey. Mr. Jones, solicitor in Menai Bridge, represented the accused, who was remanded until Friday and admitted to bail. Out on bail and with his world crashing about him, the Reverend Hughes adds to the scandal with a drunken spree in town. From the Clangollen Advertiser, the 11th of June, 1875, the Anglesey clerical scandals. At Beaumaris on Saturday, the Reverend Thomas Morris Hughes, late curate in sole charge of the parishes of Clan Daniel and Clan Edwan, was brought up on remand before Mr. Briscoe Owen, Mr. Massey and Captain Bulkeye Hughes. There were five distinct charges against the Reverend Defender, who had been in custody at Beaumaris Jail since Thursday, having committed an aggravated assault upon Miss Emma Alice Hammer, his youngest stepdaughter, and the person whose name was so prominently mentioned at the recent ecclesiastical inquiry into charges of immorality advanced against Mr. Hughes. The new charges of being drunk and riotous and refusing to quit the Boston Arms in Llandeilo, with being found on licensed premises during prohibited hours, and with assaulting the landlord of the Boston Arms, and with committing an assault upon John Williams. After evidence had been given by Mr. Griffith Parry, landlord of the Boston Arms, Mrs. Parry, John Williams, Richard Williams, P.C. Owen Evans, and Miss Hammer, the court was cleared, and on the public being readmitted after a delay of half an hour, Dr. Briscoe Owen said that the bench had come to the decision that the whole of the charges were proved, and that they had decided to commit the defendant for 3 months without hard labour. Mr. Hughes, whose face was badly scratched, sat by his solicitor during the proceedings. He was very dejected, and the severity of the sentence increased his lowness of spirits in a very marked degree. Now in prison for 3 months, the legal proceedings are continued of the case of the feloniously registering the birth and death of his baby son. From the South Wales Daily News, the 26th of July, 1875, the Welsh clerical scandal. At Beaumaris Assizes on Saturday, the Reverend Thomas Morris Hughes, late curate in sole charge of the parishes of Clan Daniel and Clan Edwin in Anglesey and private chaplain to Lord Boston, was indicted before Lord Chief Justice Coleridge on a charge of having knowingly and wilfully caused to be entered in the books of the District Registrar of Deaths certain false information relative to the death of one Ernest Hammer, the illegitimate child of Emma Alice Hammer, his stepdaughter. The career of the reverend gentleman who is the subject of the notorious Anglesey clerical scandal has, for the last 3 months, been a very eventful one. In the month of March, he and Miss Emma Alice Hammer, who is the youngest of his two stepdaughters and whose mother is still living, lived together for 6 weeks at a cottage at Aber near Bangor. There, the child, whose registration formed the subject of the present proceedings, was born, and when 6 weeks old, was registered by the prisoner as being his legitimate child. The child died early in May and was taken to Conway in a box and interred in the cemetery under circumstances which aroused the suspicion of the police and led to its exhumation. An inquest was held on May the 13th, and after a prolonged inquiry, the jury found that the child died from want of proper nourishment, having been fed with food it could not digest, and they censured the mother for not having obtained medical assistance. On the following day, Mr. Hughes was apprehended under a warrant obtained by the Chief Constable of Anglesey, and on May the 15th he was committed for trial at the Assizes on charges of having caused false entries to be made respecting the death of the child in the book of the sub-registrar, he having described himself as the uncle of the child, which was said to be that of Thomas Hammer, curate of Harleston in Staffordshire, where the prisoner resided prior to his Anglesey appointment. Upon finding bail, he was at once arrested by the Carnarvonshire police and committed to the assizes in that county, charged was falsely registering the birth of the child. He was liberated on bail, and on June the 2nd, a commission directed by the Bishop of Bangor to inquire into the charges of immorality against the prisoner found that there was prima facie evidence of such charges, evidence being given to show that he and Miss Hughes had occupied the same beds at the Penryn Arms, Bangor, at Conway, Aber, and other places. On June the 5th, the prisoner was brought before the Beaumaris bench, charged with being drunk and violently assaulting his wife, his stepdaughter, the landlord of the village public house, and a policeman, and he was committed for 3 months' imprisonment without hard labour. On the following Tuesday, he was formally inhibited by the bishop from officiating in the diocese. At the assizes on Saturday, the jury immediately found him guilty of the charge of feloniously recording the birth and death of his child. The judge said the conduct of the prisoner was of the most cruel, wicked, heartless and disgusting kind that he had ever come before him. There was nothing to excuse or mitigate his conduct, and he felt it was his duty to reduce him from his position of a free man and a clergyman and to send him to penal servitude for 5 years. This was the only business of the assizes. It was said that the Reverend Hughes was stunned by the severity of the 5 years' imprisonment. That concludes this episode of Frightful Fridays, Murder and Scandal in Wales. We very much hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy the show, we would be grateful if you could like or subscribe to our little channel. We upload 5 days a week. Mondays are murderous as we delve into the dark side of Regency and Victorian crime. Wednesdays are wicked where we pull together stories with a similar theme, such as Doctors of Death. Fridays are Frightful, where we look at crimes in a location, such as stories from the stage to murder and scandal in the aristocracy. Saturdays is Serial Killer Saturdays, where we investigate serial killer stories from the past. And Sundays is a bit of fun with the unique mini murder mystery where you, the listener, have a chance to solve a murderous riddle. On the last Sunday of the month, we offer a 2-hour compilation of stories based around a theme. Thank you again for watching and listening. This has been News of the Times, and I am Robin Coles.